Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to hopefully a daily occurrence of the yet untitled podcast for Strike3Forums.com. This is your general speaking here with the one and only Ghetto Child.
Straight up. First off here, guys, we're going to talk about the NFL, the NFL playoff race. We're going to talk about scenarios and everything. A lot of stuff going on down there. We got a lot of matchups going down, a lot of great stuff like that. Then we're going to go off and talk about, we're going to play out the first round of the playoffs as if they ended today. And we're going to have a couple
of where are my Braves in that shit?
Same as my Reds, buddy. Same as my Reds. Man, all right. So let's start this off.
Let's start off with the place where the shit's going down this year, the NL Central. Never thought I'd be saying that.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of different shit going down there. Astros win today.
The Astros are up right now as of 9 o'clock Central Standard Time, 5-1, bottom of the ninth, against your Braves.
Oh, well, that's a shocker. How about them Cards? How'd they do today? Are they not playing?
The Cards played today. They had an early game today. I got to catch some of it. That was a good game. It was on Fox. Great pitching duel. It was Ben Sheets.
Was it Marquise going for them today?
No, it was Ben Sheets against Jeff Suppan. Great pitching duel. Sheets went 6 innings, gave up 7 hits, 0 under runs, 7 strikeouts, 1 walk. Suppan went 7 innings, 5 hits, 2 earned runs, 3 walks, 2 strikeouts. But the player of the game was obviously Scott Spezia. I don't know if you caught this, but
that's right, the 3-1 triple.
Yes.
I remember that.
Yes, it was the bottom of the 8th. They were down 2-0 against Milwaukee. And here's the call from St. Louis on the triple.
On Spezio. The pitch to Scott. A swing and a drive to the right field corner. It gets down and goes to the wall. Pujols scores. Here comes Rowland. Here comes Encarnacion. Spezio streaks for third. Save! He's safe with a bases loaded triple. The Cardinals lead 3-2.
That was KTRS out there in STL representing.
So what's the scenario now? Assuming the Astros hang on to defeat my miserable Braves and with the St. Louis win, and there's 2 games left, right? So how's it going to go down?
Well, the Astros look like they're going to probably win tonight. So the St. Louis must win tomorrow versus Milwaukee. Otherwise, if they lose Monday, they're going to have that makeup game with the rainout against San Francisco at St.
That's
Louis.
Right.
So if San Francisco loses, or if San Francisco wins that game on Monday, then the Astros win. But if St. Louis wins, then St. Louis gets the crown. So St. Louis's magic number is 1, but they must win tomorrow. Otherwise, they got to play San Francisco.
Well, let's hope for let's hope for some late season heroics from Andy Pettit tomorrow.
Well, I mean, it should be interesting too because San Francisco's season is already gone. You know, they were gone last week, 2 weeks ago. You know, so it should be interesting to see how San Francisco goes into this game. Seeing as if, you know, they're going to play it with, you know, as another, you know, as it would be a July game or just as a spring training game, you know, because...
I don't know. I would think that a team would love to play spoiler, as San Francisco has a chance to do. Personally, I would love that. I've actually got the chance to do it on the tennis team, but we don't talk about tennis here. It's a great feeling to knock somebody out of the playoffs. I would imagine San Francisco is going to go balls out and try to beat St. Louis if it comes down to it.
It should be interesting because you know, after the season ends, that's when everybody, you know, gets their healing going, surgeries, all that. And I'm sure a lot of people have already got their surgeries scheduled for Monday and everything. So that should be interesting.
Right. Let's move on to the NL West and the wild card, where LA and San Diego are in the playoffs, and now the only thing left up in the air is who's winning the division, who's going in as the wild card.
Exactly.
I believe they were tied yesterday night. Am I correct?
They were tied. They had their games today. Let's start off with Los Angeles, the Dodgers. Maddux was on the mound today. He had a very good game against San Francisco. 7 innings pitched, 3 hits, 2 earned runs, 4 strikeouts.
That's my boy.
He's done really good since switching over, since going over the Dodgers. I think that whole playoff atmosphere has got him re-energized and everything than, say, in the Cubs. Because the Cubs, they're just out of it. I mean, they lost today to Colorado, 14 innings, 11-9.
I'd be really impressed if I played for the Cubs, so
oh, man.
I can't really blame them.
I can only imagine how it is down there. I mean, to go from what they have and everything the past seasons
had
to...
Had in Atlanta. We don't have anything anymore. We have Chris Rietzma, the 60-day disabled list. That's what we have, but what we had was the glorious days of Bobby Cox and Homeboy out there dominating. And, yeah, and now we got nothing. But nobody cares about the Braves.
Anyway.
So, how'd San Diego do today?
San Diego, they won today, 3-1 against Arizona. Wells was on the mound today. He went 6 innings, 4 hits, no earned runs, so scoreless game today for Wells. 3 strikeouts and 1 walk.
Ooh, still got it.
Mike Cameron had a 2-run home run in the 5th against Edgar Gonzalez, number 22 off the year. That was the game-determining run, as nobody scored for the rest of the game. Dave Roberts, he went 2-for-5 today, had a 2-bagger and a stolen base, number 49 for him, good for 6th in the league.
Yeah, you know, Dave Roberts quietly had himself a hell of a season. He's going to cash in this free agency. Well, I think he's batting over 300, I believe. Like you said, 49 doubles, that's still has some speed out there and left. I'd love to see him on the Braves. I know we're going to have to overpay to get him, but you know, I'm sick and tired of the trot.
Ever since that 2004 World Series, man, where he scored that on that first at home, he's just taken off from then. So the playoff scenarios for the NL West and the wild card go like this. Both San Diego and LA, as I'm sure everybody's seen from the highlights, SportsCenter, all that good stuff today, is they're in the playoffs. If San Diego wins tomorrow, then the Padres, they win the NL West crown. But to do that, LA must lose. And it's vice versa for LA. If LA wins and San Diego loses, then Los Angeles gets NL West crown. But either way, they're both going to be up there in the playoffs. Just it's going to be a deciding factor who's going to take the crown and who's going to take the wild card. But
sure, like what's going down up there in the Central with the Twins and the Tigers, okay?
Well, I got one more thing on the West. I got one more thing on the West. If they both win tomorrow, or if they both lose tomorrow, then San Diego automatically wins with a 13-5 season head-to-head record. So that should be interesting. I think those two games tomorrow with San Diego and who are they going to play? San Diego into Arizona, and LA and San Francisco. Those are going to be the two games to watch tomorrow. If you're not going
to
be watching,
you know,
football.
Personally, if I'm with the NL West, I'd like to go ahead and lose the NL West, and then, you know, face the Mets in the first round, seeing as, you know, the Mets ace is now Tom Glavine. Wasn't the ace 3 years ago. Wasn't the ace 10 years ago when he was, you know, winning Cy Youngs and everything. And he was a number three starter when he was in his prime, and now he's 40 and he's an ace for the Mets. So
what is?
I'd like to face those Mets with Pedro out, you know, Steve Trask.
Exactly. It should be interesting because either way, those NL West teams are going to have the advantage over St. Louis and New York, because St. Louis all August and September, they've just been completely horrible. I mean, to let both the Stros and the Reds get within five games at the end of the year after being nine games up, you know, for a month there, you know, and to lose all those games, then they're not going to have that momentum as, say, Houston would, you know, because they've won, 13 straight now? I don't know if they lost last night.
So, yeah, let's take a look at the AL now. We got the NL pretty much wrapped up, and we got the Yanks in the East, and, you know, who would have thought the Red Sox would be in third place, or, you know, close to third place this late in the season. Got people predicting it.
Oh, they are in third place as of right now.
Fisher Cat. So we got the Yanks in the East with the best record in the league. Then we got the A's in the West, also a dangerous team, but they have that whole Atlanta Braves thing in the playoffs going on with Moneyball not doing squat. And now the Central is, I guess, the place where anything is left up to debate, where it's either the Twins or the Chi Sox, you know, who gets the division, who gets the crown. It's basically who gets to face the Yankees and probably get eliminated, or who gets to face the hapless A's.
Exactly. As of right now, Detroit is down 7-1 as of 9 o'clock here in Central Standard Time against Kansas City. And this is a must-win game for Detroit, as the Twins lost today. And if they tie, well, I guess it really doesn't matter. If they tie, if Detroit ends up losing tonight, then the Tigers already have the division clinched, because at the head record of the season between the Tigers and the Twins. And a Tigers win tonight would clinch the ALC for the Detroit and the wild card for the Twins. So it looks like both the Twins and the Tigers are going to be in the playoffs. And it looks like, as of right now, Detroit will be playing those hapless A's, as you said, I'm sure. Providence
is
not going to
be... basis.
I'm sure Providence
sounds
isn't
like
going
to
be happy
about
this.
Sounds like I'm trying to piss off this. Providence A's and, you know, A's diehard. I really don't feel confident for the A's. They're sort of like with the Braves, you know, they get to the playoffs, and
yeah,
they have this great regular season record, and then bam, you know, smack in the face, whether it was Art Howe or, you know, I guess it's just Billy Beane that's, you know, that's cursed with the playoff debacles that they've had.
It should be interesting.
Some quick bits out there. Pedro Dunn for at least 8 months with rotator cuff surgery. I'm sure Fisher Cat is deeply regretting not giving him a 4-year deal when he was a free agent.
Oh, no
so
doubt.
Does this mean you think the Mets are going to bring in Barry Zito now?
It should be interesting. Barry Zito, of course, free agent. A lot of teams are going to be looking after him. But as the past, two off seasons have shown, Mets have been a very big player out there in the whole picking up the big free agents. 2 years ago, it was Pedro and Carlos Beltran.
Beltran, that's right. Wagner last year.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, so obviously they're going to be that front. They're going to be the front runner for New York out there. But I wouldn't count out some of these other teams, because you never know going out into this off season, especially with Barry Zito. You never know how he's going to do outside of the Coliseum out there. Even though he has a very good road record, it should be very intriguing this offseason.
Well, if I'm Zito, I'm sitting at home smiling, reading about how Pedro's done for a while. You know, just cashed in right there.
Exactly.
But, I mean, you know, isn't Zito at a sort of disadvantage for Omar, you know, because he's not of Hispanic descent? I know Omar Minaya likes, and this is not baseless. I mean, the only white guy I can remember who's been on the Expos is, you know, Brad Wilkerson, and that was when Omar was the GM. He got rid of Pavano, he got rid of everyone. He had his Jose Vidros and his Orlando Cabreras.
Well, I'm sure, as you know, out there in New York, you know, the media is going to play, you know, a big role in this. I'm sure they're already talking about it out there.
Yeah, I've been talking about it for 2 years, man.
Exactly. And, you know, so they're going to play a big role in this. But, I mean, Zito, he's going to be looking for that money. He's going to have he's coming off a good season. He has a very good road record, as long as a home record. And as showing as Bronson Arroyo did coming from the AL to the NL, Lord knows what Zito's going to do from the AL to the NL if he does come to the National League with that devastating curve. I mean, that's the most nastiest curveball I've ever seen in my entire life.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. Bob Wickman, too, can't forget him. Came from the AL to the NL, had a decent record and decent ERA up there in Cleveland, but came down to the Braves, and he's been nothing short of lights out for us. And I guess we re-signed him for that, man.
Exactly. It also goes to show how much stronger the AL is, as much as I hate to say it, you know, because I love my NL teams.
It hurts.
And how, you know, over there in the AL, 1-9, if you take a look at that Yankees lineup, 1-9, just destructive, as, you know, you can watch all throughout the season, 1-9. But as in the NL, you know, all you really got to worry about is 1-6. Maybe 1-7 if you're lucky.
Or not even 1-8, because the Braves don't have a leadoff hitter. Moving on, went to the Yankees game last night. You know, had the YMCA guys do their thing in the sixth inning and whatnot. Nice 7-2, I believe the final was. Had my boy Kyle Farnsworth pitch the ninth inning. And speaking of the Yanks, the big unit's diagnosed with a herniated disc. And as usual, Joe Torre is optimistic that he can start game three, because, you know, when has Joe Torre not been optimistic?
Exactly.
But I guess if he's not going to go, they're going to have to keep Corey Lytle on the postseason roster, which they wouldn't want to do otherwise. Or, you know, if unit's ready, they would keep Lytle off the roster, and, you know, they would move up Jarrett Wright, the greatest postseason pitcher of all time, to start game three and have Lytle go for game four if necessary. Because, I mean, everybody knows Jarrett Wright has a proven postseason record coming from the Atlanta Braves.
No doubt. I'm sure everybody.
Finally,
the
last big news from today, our Kansas City manager Buddy Bell had a good overview of his cancerous tissue around his left tonsil, so he'll be back to manage the Kansas City Royals to another 100 loss season next year. Don't fear, Royals fans, you're not going to win anytime soon.
But, I mean, our, you know, good hopes go out to Buddy Bell, because, you know, having anything cancerous removed is always scary. Having anything removed from your body is always scary, you know. And that surrounding tissue was cancer-free, you know, that's good, because as a Reds fan, we all know about, you know, Hume and everything and all the troubles he went through. Lord knows.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not saying we couldn't have done better without him, you know, as a pitching coach, but he was out most of the season, didn't come back until about August. So, you know, our good hopes go out to him, and hope he gets better soon.
Yeah, it's never good to hear of anybody having cancer, you know, celebrity or not. So I just hope Buddy Bell makes it out all right. You got anything else to add? I'm kind of out of content today. Just hung around the city.
So. Well, I guess we could sit here and talk about millage. I mean, guys getting a little cocky over there in Mets.
That's right.
Mets land.
I read the article in Newsday today about how big old Lastings Millage, all 21 years old of him, is getting all pissy, having dinner alone at the at his locker room because his. Because, you know, the big bad teammates aren't playing nice with him. I think it was something about how Millage on the road trip to Atlanta said something to one of the veterans that I guess the veteran didn't like, and so they slipped him a nice note on his locker saying, "Know your place, Rook," and signed your teammates. You know, if I'm him, I'd take the hint and, you know, shut my mouth and play baseball, hopefully, which he hasn't done to, you know, any success so far this year.
He doesn't have he doesn't have the role that, you know, if you're a rookie, what you need to be doing is sitting back and taking advice from those veterans, not, you know, trying to show them up and trying to, you know, show them an attitude. That isn't going to get you anywhere. You're going to become the T.O. of baseball. You know, nobody wants to be around you. You're a cancer to the clubhouse. You might have the skills to pay the bills, but, you know, clubhouse chemistry is there. It has to be there. Otherwise, you're just going to go out there and everybody's going to be playing for themselves, as we all saw out there in Team USA World Baseball Classic. You know, everybody's out there playing with themselves, no chemistry out there at all. So, you know, he just needs to shut up.
And what you said about how you know, T.O., and what I like to point out is that baseball, you know, team chemistry is far more important than in football, where you play one game and, you know, you each have your positions and you run your routes and whatnot. And, you know, there's 16 games. But in baseball, it's 162 games, spring training. You basically live together there for the better part of the summer.
Exactly.
Fall.
It's a half a year. Everybody's together. Yep. And, you know, they just need to get along with each other. Let's all be friends, you know.
Yeah, that's right. So you got anything else, son? I'm pretty much out of content.
Yeah.
As always.
As always. Let me go around. We can do a quick wrap up of the scores here. Today is Saturday as of 10:15 Eastern Standard Time. KC is up on Detroit, 8-4, bottom of the fourth. Cleveland's up on Tampa Bay, no surprise there, top of the seventh. Oakland is up on the Los Angeles Angels of the world, the universe, all that jazz, top of the first. The finals today, Chicago White Sox 6, Minnesota 3, Milwaukee 2, St. Louis 3, as we all heard, that triple off Spezio that basically saved St. Louis's asses. I'm sorry, Rock, but Philadelphia
777 Rack is crying somewhere.
I'm sorry. I'm really sorry. Philly, they were eliminated today, even though they won today 4-3 over Florida. What a turnaround Florida has, you know, become. To start out the season, you know, looking to be the next Kansas City Royals of the National League, and to come back and finish out, a better part of the season around 500. I mean, that's pretty good.
Joe Girardi is still set to be fired, which just boggles my mind. But hey, I'm not Jeffrey Lurie, so maybe he has some really good reasons to fire him.
He's been a cranky, you know, teen angst. I won't get my own stadium, so I'm just gonna, you know, turn me into the Cleveland Indians of freaking...
Yeah, him and Dan Snyder should get together and have lunch.
Exactly. Let's see, what's the next game? As I mentioned earlier, Colorado over Chicago Cubs in 14 innings.
Chicago.
Texas loses against Seattle 3-1. Toronto beats New York Yankees 6-5. Dodgers... Dodgers
Andy
4.
Andy Phillips making a start at first base.
Yeah, playoffs. I heard that Bernie Williams, or was that Bernie, or who was going to start first in the playoffs?
No, the atrocity was that Joe Torre has a man crush on Andy Phillips and Scott Proctor. And, you know, being the genius that Torre is, you know, the manic lover, whichever, he decided to keep the great Andy Phillips, who can't play defense or hit or run or do anything, any, you know, decent, not even good, just mediocrity. He can't even produce mediocrity. He decided to keep Andy Phillips over, you know, Craig Wilson, which just makes no sense to me. But hey, I don't have four World Series rings, however many Joe Torre has. So
yeah, he committed his seventh year today. Andy Phillips did at first base, and which led to two earned runs.
Shocking. I'm appalled.
But it looks like Gary Sheffield will start game one at first base in the ALDS.
Yeah, you know, he's been pretty damn good out there at first. I watched him yesterday taking fielding practice and made a couple of nice scoops on shitty throws by Jeter. Actually, Jeter had the had that whole hop thing going last night, but he didn't make the throw. But he hopped. So, you know, all the fans go, "Ah!" Jeff scooped that out of the dirt.
So Sheffield, with Sheffield at first, you know, that'll give Giambi the DH, and Matsui, who'll be playing left field, putting Cabrera on the bench, which, you know, putting Cabrera on the bench.
That's the milkman, as the great John Sterling would say, the milkman always knocks twice. Or some really shitty.
Something like that.
Honestly, don't listen to WFAN, ever. Whatever you do, do not listen to WFAN.
I'll take that in. Dodgers 4-2 over San Francisco. San Diego clinched their playoff spot today, 3-1 over Arizona. Baltimore 5, Boston 4. Boston is now in third place in the American League East.
Ha! Take that,
11.5 back. Cincinnati 0. Ouch. I'm just seeing this for the first time. Pittsburgh 3. Looks like Bronson Arroyo didn't do good at all. Let me get the stats here up on this.
Poor Reds fans. Started off so good. You know what the Reds remind me of? Last year's Washington
Nationals.
Started off pretty damn hot. And just
for the longest time now, I have seriously thought that the Nationals are like the red squared, you know, because they got Bowden over there. They've got Larkin as some sort of coach. God knows what. They need to get his ass back. Butt back there in Cincinnati where he belongs. It just disgusts me to even talk about it. But, yeah, Arroyo went 7 innings, 7 hits, 3 earned runs, 3 walks. 3s across the board, really.
That's not bad.
That's not a bad start, but he finishes up the year 14-11, which, you know, to come over here from the National or from the American League into the National
from
League.
Boston.
From Boston. You know, he finishes up the year with a 3.29 ERA, which for the Reds, that's phenomenal. Look for him to start opening day next year, and then blow it against the Cubs, as it always goes, and yeah. Never recover from that. Let's see. Let's finish up here. Houston did win against Atlanta 5-4. Looks like they came back there with 3 runs in the bottom of the 9th. And the Mets just whipped up on Washington today. 13-0.
What they have pitching?
Let's see. Perez.
The Mets, that is. I don't care.
Oh, Washington.
Oh,
Glavin.
Perez finally got his shit together.
Glavin pitched today. Yeah. God, we're going to get so screwed. Glavin pitched today. Went 6 innings, 3 hits. Scoreless today in 6 innings. 3 strikeouts.
Wait, this makes no sense. Why would Glavin go today if they're having him start game one? That's just, I don't know.
That's Willie Randolph for you. Chavez had a home run today. We had a couple of homers. Chavez had hit number 4 in the first. Franco, he hit number 2. Woohoo! Three-run homer there. He had a 300
homer. That guy keeps playing until he's 60.
Green hit his 15th off the year. Castro hit his 4th. David Wright, he kind of slowed down after that batting. After the home run derby, kind of like Abreu did.
Like Abreu, that's right.
That's why, you know, I kind of want to see Adam Dunn in there. And it probably won't make a difference for Adam Dunn. I mean, he just goes out there and throws the bat out on the ball anyway.
Yeah, he swings for the fences all the time.
Exactly.
I think what I've noticed is after the home run derby, the hitters just start going for the fences. And this is recently, not before. When
oh,
it was
I know.
Griffey and Bagwell and, you know, Albert Bell or whoever else. Yeah, they would just go swing for the fences and have fun. Then they go back to hitting. But I guess nowadays it's the guys are stupid or I don't know what it is.
But it wasn't the case for what's his face over there in Philadelphia. Oh, Howard.
Bell?
Howard.
Oh, that's right, Ryan Howard. He had himself a hell of a second half out there. Probably gonna win the MVP, in my book at least.
That should be interesting. 148 RBIs, 50 plus homers. All right, so let's play out this playoff scenarios here as if the season ended today.
All right.
So we got AL, the ALDS. We got A's and Detroit. Who do you have?
I don't know. I'm not gonna go. I really wouldn't have gone against Detroit, but I really hate Fox Sports, so I'll take whoever the hell is playing Detroit.
So that's the A's, Providence. There you go. You get your rep.
Yeah, send me some rep, bastard.
And then over there, we got Yankees and Twins. That should be a good series right there.
I'll take the Yanks in five. Thank you. Santana wins the start. Bam, Boof Bonzer. I'm sorry, I'm not scared of that.
Yeah, outside of Santana, with Liriano gone, I don't see them going very far at all. And then we got LA and the Mets. That should be really interesting because no Pedro. You got a very watered down pitching staff now for the Mets. They don't have that pitching staff that they opened up the year with.
Oh, they never did have a pitching staff. They just had Pedro and then mediocrity. Now they just have mediocrity. So, not really surprising.
Not really a playoff staff to go with.
But then again, these guys, you know, have a 20-something or the lead game on my race, so I really shouldn't be talking.
Either way, I'll
take the Dodgers in six.
Yeah,
five.
Dodgers, they've got that playoff. They've got the end of the season momentum going, and I'd take the Dodgers too. And then last up, we got St. Louis and San Diego. St. Louis, they've, of course, as I've said earlier, they've been really slow lately. They crappy ending to the year. They don't have that momentum going. And momentum starting or ending out the season is really key for the playoffs, I think. Because, you know, to be out there in the playoffs, you know, you're still playing those games. It's not like you're quitting for, you know, a week or two and then going out and playing. You're still got, you know, you still got your hot streak going. You still got your arms ready, you know, and to have that momentum going, which San Diego does over St. Louis, I'm taking San Diego in five.
Yeah, I'll take San Diego in four. Hell, I'll take a sweep.
You're going with a sweep.
I'm going with a sweep. All right, so I guess that's it. One final note. Mike Hampton tossed 25 pitches to hitters today. Bobby Cox said you looked excellent. So get ready for some Mike Hampton in 2007.
Woohoo. That is the end of podcast number one, strike3forms.com. Send us a name, guys. We got our form posted up and everything. We're looking for names. Go ahead.
Yeah, don't be afraid to shoot me, Mission, or Ghetto a PM, and, you know, maybe some witty name suggestions. Just looking at you, be witty. yeah, you got any topic suggestions as well? Post them here. Maybe a simile thing, you know?
We're always looking for new content, new bits to do, ways to improve the show. Obviously, this is our first show, so, you know, hopefully we'll work out the kinks later on, and we'll get this going on more and more. Hopefully the quality will, you know, be a lot better going on and turn out something that somebody would actually want to listen week in and week out and not just two guys rambling on and on and on.
That's right. Again, if you're going to send us anything, which I strongly encourage, just be original. Don't be like, oh, why don't you guys, you know, do that segment where Dick Vitale calls in and yells about, you know, Duke basketball, whatever the hell he does. So yeah, just send us a PM or post something in the help forum, and we'll keep it in mind. And with that, I'm the General signing off from New York City.
And I'm Ghetto, right here, A-Town, Allen, Texas. I'll talk to you guys later. StarkTheForums.com.
Good night, Canada.